chapter number 5. I know that you know these verses very, very, very well. Again, appreciate you being in God's house. And those songs today, even though a lot of times we have to listen to the words of the songs is what we're after. And I'm telling you, God can touch our families, tear down every stronghold, destroy every yoke, destroy the devil. I don't know if anybody in the room has fought the devil this week, but I'm sure he's been bothering somebody. But I want to let you know that at the name of Jesus Christ, in the book of Philippians chapter 2 and 10, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is still Lord today. Amen. Don't care what you've been going through. Everybody's got a battle. Everybody's got something going on. I don't care who you are, young and old. The enemy is not too prone to just keep it within an age group. He's not too discretionary about who he tries to attack. But I got good news today, and that's why I'm here. I want to talk about the good news. Last week we talked about Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Spontaneous on that. I was going to preach this last week, and again, the Lord just kind of changed the direction there last Sunday, and I've really tried to see what God would want to say, and I've not been able to get away from these verses of Scripture, so I'm under the understanding and I'm under the persuasion that this is what God wants today. And I want to talk to you today out of the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. And I want to start reading. I'm going to back up a little bit. I'm going to pick up in verse number 21. And in the reading of God's word, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Somebody say the church. Say it one more time, the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as somebody say, the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, if I had time, I'd talk about that for a length of time. I don't have time to talk about it in length. But one time when I was studying this in days gone by, it basically boils down to this when it says, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands in everything. It's simply this, that a husband that is submitted to Christ would never ask a wife to do anything outside of the will of God. Amen. That's basically what that boils down to in a nutshell. And he says there in 25 again, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved, somebody say, the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, it being what? The church, with the washing of the water by the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. That he that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord. Somebody say, the church. For as we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Verse 32 says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and, somebody say, the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his own wife, even as Christ And Christ himself and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, there's a lot of preaching in this. There is probably a good solid 2 hours of just conversation about this in a minimum. So I will not take the 2 hours this morning to go through every bit of that. But when Jesus used this allegory, he used it in one of the most basic yet most complex synopsis of human life is a relationship that exists between a man and a woman in the bonds of matrimony. There's not a person in this room. Now, there's some that's been married, some that's not married, some that are yet to be married. But yet in all of this, you know and I know if there was a perfect marriage, Satan would get in the middle of it as he did in the garden. So therefore, you know and I know that it takes a whole lot of work to make that happen. But besides that, Jesus uses this synopsis, if you will, and this allegory to explain the special bond between a husband and a wife. Even in the marriage, the Bible says in marriage, the bed is undefiled. Anything outside of the bond of marriage is fornication and adultery. We don't like to use those words in the pulpit these days, but the truth will set you free. When you begin to think about this, he begins to talk about the church. About five different times through there, Jesus and Paul was speaking to the church of Ephesus, began to actually put an emphasis upon the church. It's his church. It's not our church. It's his church. When we think about the church, we need to think about several things. I want to talk to you this morning, if I will, for the next little bit, and I know I'll run out of time, so bear with me. I'll go as far as I can go, and then we'll pick back up maybe a little bit later. But I want to talk about the real church today. When I think about the real church today, I think about it in the context of what someone may say, I belong to a church. I belong to the church at Thomasville. Thomasville Church of God is my home church. As beautiful as that is, and as thankful as we are to be in this building together, I believe there is something that we all must understand and not be confused about, because oftentimes we come into this beautiful edifice and we think about that this building is the church. No, this is a house of prayer. This is a house of worship. It is beautiful. We're thankful for it. We're thankful for the work that is going on our grounds and what we're doing here. But yet Jesus himself did not die for this building. Matter of fact, the sheetrock in this building will crumble one of these days. The roof upon this building at some point in time will begin to leak. And all of those things, as precious as those things are today, we must understand that Jesus did not die for 2x4s and 2x12s, but Jesus died for people. When we begin to think about the church, there are several things that we need to think about today. First of all, I believe that we need a new renewal to the church. Well, let's talk about the church for a minute. The church, again, when we think about the church, and we ask a question today, we think about it because who is the church? We think about who is the church. Number one, we think about, is that the people that show up on Sunday morning? Is that the attendees that show up? We would say, yes, that is the church. Unfortunately, that is not a correct answer, because I believe the real church, are those who have been called out, separated themselves from the sinfulness of this world. And Jesus told this young man by the name of Nicodemus that came to Jesus by night, who was questioning Jesus, and Jesus ended up telling him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, you must be born again." So we think about the church today. The church is the body of Christ made up of the born-again individuals, born-again Christians, those that have made their profession of faith, and those that have called upon the name of Jesus. The Bible lets us understand several things as we begin to talk about the church. In the book of Psalm 100, in verse number 3, this is what the Bible says: "Know ye that the Lord, He is God." Know ye that the Lord, He is God. That is the first criteria of the church. You've got to know that you know that you know that you know that you know. Somebody says, "Well, I think I'm saved." Another person would say, "Well, I hope I'm saved." Somebody says, "Well, I hope I make it in." Well, my friend, today, if you have to question those things of you hope you make it in and you think you're saved, you may be saved. Hey, I'm going to tell you the difference between saved and unsaved can be found all throughout the Word of God. The Bible said you've got to be born again. Your life has got to be His life. He says, "Know ye not, for He is Lord. It is He that hath made us, and not ourselves, not we ourselves, for we are the sheep of His pasture." The first thing I want to talk about, and I probably will not get very far along through here, I want you to write this somewhere and remember it. The real church belongs to Him. Now, I'm gonna be a little facetious here for just a few minutes, okay? The Bible says to let every man have his own wife. Paul says that it's better to marry than to burn. Paul, according to my understanding, was never married, but Paul did not say a man should not be married. But let me say it like this, that every man should have his own wife. Sherry Green is my wife. Let me pick on a few of these ladies that really love me a lot. Sherry is my wife. I have a relationship with Sherry. Reba is a female. Pauline's a female. Betty's a female. But I don't have the same relationship with you. It's phileo. It's not arios. It's not agape. It is agape, but it's not phileo in the sense of brotherly love. Yes, but arios, that's the one I'm looking for. It's not that type of relationship. I have a relationship with Patricia or Pauline, but it's not the relationship that I have with Sherry. Crap, somebody says, praise the Lord. But here's the thing I'm trying to get to. Christ loved the church, and He gave Himself for the church. And He makes this, again, this great analogy throughout the Scripture of how that He died for the church. Well, let's talk about the church. So the church, the real church, because I believe there's a vast difference between a church attender, a church attendee, and those that are saved and born again. And when Paul begins to write this to the church of Ephesus, again, he makes this beautiful analogy between what Christ was saying, or what Paul was saying here, of how that Christ loved the church. Now let's walk through this. First of all, I want you to understand this, that the real church belongs to Him. Now, I'm going to get ugly this morning. I'm going to be real plain here for a few minutes. When you think about the real church, you belong to Him. Our society is filled with absolute rebellion. Follow along. If you miss a paragraph, you're going to have to go back and read the whole letter again. Our society is filled with so much rebellion today. And here's the attitude of the world. The attitude of the world will say, Well, you ain't my boss. The attitude of the world says, you ain't telling me what to do, with an attitude, with a hand on the hip. You ain't telling me what to do. Well, I ain't listening to you. And this rebellious streak in our society today, if we're not very, very careful, it runs throughout the whole stem of humanity. And if we're not really, really careful, and when you preach this message, you preach it your way, but let me preach it my way this morning. If we're not really, really careful, that same Antichrist spirit that is in the world today will creep into our homes, in our classrooms, and into our children and our teenagers. The Bible says that rebellion is as of the sin of witchcraft. And God hates witchcraft. Again, when we think about this, and I pray that many will hear this today, that when we think about this today, too many of our youth today will advise them or will try to direct them in the right direction, so that they will not be involved in sinful behaviors or activities that eventually will lead them to destruction. But yet we see this. There's this thing called a defiance disorder. A defiance disorder, from my understanding, is when you advise or you direct or you counsel somebody in the direction that they need to go, but they will absolutely do on purpose, intentionally, the absolute opposite of what you tell them to do. Defiance. To do absolutely the opposite. And again, when we begin to think about the thing that I'm trying to get to with this, is simply this, that because so many today with an attitude will say, nobody will tell me what I can or I cannot do. And our world today has fallen into this thing called rebellion. Watch this. If you are truly a part of the church, you sang the song just a minute ago without me even saying anything. I surrender. The true church, the real church, even as a wife will submit unto her own husband, so the church, I can tell you in a skinny minute whether you're a part of the born again, it's because of your attitude. It's because of your willingness and your submission to the Bible, the Word of God, and your willingness to follow Jesus, hook, line, and sinker 100%. If there's one iota of rebellion in your spirit, you don't belong to God and you don't belong to the real church. And we all, Brother Hooker, need a checkup from the neck up every now and then. We need to evaluate our own selves. Amen. And they used to say, well, preachers used to preach hard, and preachers used to this, and preachers used to that. I want to tell you something. This preacher still does. I still believe there's a difference between people and the church. I still believe that God's coming back for a church. I still believe that God has got a people. I still believe within my own heart that holiness is the standard of living for God's people. I still believe that. I still believe today that there is a vast difference between the saved and the unsaved. Let's talk about this for a few minutes. Christ died for the church. If you go and you look in Strong's Concordance and you begin to look at all the definitions all the way down through there, and you look at every bit of it. Basically, it talks about the church as being an assembled gathering of people in basically who are there in one location. It talks about the description of being gathered together. The New Testament church was there in one mind and one accord. They came together. They were first called Christians at Antioch. They were an identifying factor about who the church really was. There was something distinctively different about the church. When we begin to look at the real church, Vine's dictionary uses the terminology and the gives the Greek definition of ekklesia. When you begin to look at the ekklesia, it is a word that means called out. The Bible reminds us in several places. He says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. Apart from what? according to when you go into the history of all this in the 1 Corinthians. Let me read this 2 Corinthians real quick to you. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verses 17 and 18 calls the people of God to be separated. Use the word ekklesia. It's a Greek word that means called out. He calls us out, according to this scripture, to be separated and to be different from those things around us. The Bible warns us not to get involved in, not to be entangled in. Be not unequally yoked together. I'll get to that in a moment. And here's the thing that you struggle with in the church today, is because so many people in our world today, our young people, I'm looking at a few of them, our young people get bullied today because they're not what other young people are. We think about young ladies that's coming along today, and they'll be bullied and they'll be made fun of and they'll be mocked because they're still virgins and because other girls has wasted their lives away, give themselves away to some guy that don't give a rip about them. But yet they're trying to live a pure life and a wholesome life, a life that's separated from the things of the world. I hate the devil. I could kick his teeth out right now. I ain't scared. My buddy Charlie says that to me all the time. He says, "There's one thing I am. I'm a lot of things, but one thing I ain't scared." We need to not be scared to be able to be different. Let me read this. "Wherefore come out from among them." Who was the them in 2 Corinthians 16? It was those that worshiped idols. It was those that participated in idol worship. We may not have a statue of Diana, the fertility goddess, as they did have in the book of Ephesians. Her, you can look it up. In her whole being, she was a fertility goddess. And that there was a large, humongous temple built to her. Armithus, if you look at that in the Greek mythology, or the Greeks called it that, but yet the Romans called her Diana. And you know, and I know, and I'm going to be real plain, and I'm not going to be real jerky this morning when I say it. Everything in our society operates around wild living. Everything in our society revolves around sex and drugs and everything that glorifies and gratifies and satisfies the flesh. But the church that Jesus is coming back for is a church that has made up her mind, Brother Robert. I'm not going to be like the world. I'm not going to participate in the world. I'm not going to be what the world wants me to be. You say, "Well, there you go again, preacher. You're a little bit high-minded today. You're up on your little high horse today. You think you're better than anybody else today, preacher." Oh no, my friend, I'm no better than anybody else. I don't have a high horse. But this one thing I've made up my mind: I'm not going to hell for you. I ain't going to hell for nobody else. I'm not going to hell for my wife. I'm going to live a life separated unto God, holy and pure for His glory. The church is His bride, His people, sheep of His pasture. So I'm just going to rebuke the devil as I'm preaching today. This thing that people think today, that the church is quote unquote, they do their little fingers quote unquote, holier than thou. I wish they'd call us holy rollers every now and then now. I said that about 6 months ago. I wish they would recognize not tradition, not hang-ups, not all the things that rebellious spirit tries to include in holiness and righteousness. Yeah, that's two different things. He says, "Come out from among them." You see that? He says, "Wherefore come out from among them." Anything that you can't do in front of God or anybody else with a clean and pure conscience is something you need to quit doing. I ain't at a loss of words. I just have to absorb. Sometimes I just have to pause. I have to just let me catch up with what God's doing. Oh. The church is God's lovely bride. If you say today that you're saved and you're a part of the church, you ought to love the bridegroom. I love coming to this building and I love being with you guys. But the only way I can explain it, Brother Hooker, you're a preacher, you know. I can't ride as a preacher, Brother West, like you and Bob and different ones, Brother Russell. I can't ride just on the adrenaline of preaching. And you know what I'm talking about. I've got to know, Brother Robert, when my feet hit the floor, that I'm in love with a Savior. I'm in love with a Savior that classified me as His special people. As much as I've got a special bond with Sherry, God is saying, I've got a special bond with my people. And I can only tell you what I feel in my heart today, that God is lonely, Brother Steve. God is lonely today, and God is looking for His church today. He's looking for His bride, but where's she at? Oh, God, where's the bride? She's like old Adam of old in the bushes, shaking in the bushes. Adam, where are you? God, I'm over here in the bushes. What's wrong? We ate it. What's wrong? I'm naked. Who told you? And there was this relation. Let me tell you something. There was this relationship thing that fell apart right there. But I want to tell you something. Sin will keep you from God. I want to say that again. Sin will keep you from God. I want to say it one more time. Sin will keep you from God. But I know that God will keep you from sin. My God, let's say that again. Sin will keep you from God, but God will keep you from sin. And there's this mindset in our society today that says, well, you got to sin a little bit every day. Who told you that lie? He ain't here. I don't see him. He'd fuss at me if he would hear. Lord, you can tell him maybe. My buddy Charlie says I'm just an old sinner. And me and Charlie have these long conversations. And I said to Larry, I said to my buddy Charlie, did it. I said, no, when you get born again, you need to quit sinning. Sinning is something that I do on purpose with the intent to violate the will of God. And I know I'm violating God while I'm doing it. Sort of like adultery. You know you're doing it while you're doing it, but you go ahead and you do it anyway. Sort of like fornication. Sex before marriage. You know you're doing it. You know it's wrong, but you just go ahead and do it anyway. Well, that's a violation of the Word, and it's a violation of the heart of God. And here's the church. Here's the church in the Scripture says this, wherefore come out from among them. And God says, I've called you out to bring you in. Remember Israel of old? I don't have time to go there. He told Israel of old, get ye up and get you out. And I'll deliver you. Hey, God saves you to bring you up out of sin. Not for you to say, I'm saved and continue in your sin. May we sin that the grace of God may abound. Oh no, Paul says to the church of Rome. He says, God forbid. God, as the church, does not want His people to be controlled by the things of the world, neither does He want His people to be controlled by Satan himself. I got to say it the way I feel it. If you want to get close to God, you're going to have to quit making excuses for your sin. Somebody said, I've tried and I don't know how to do it. You said two things there that gets my attention. First of all, you've tried. Number two is you don't know how to do it. Why don't you let God do it? Why don't you get out of the driver's seat and let God get back in the driver's seat? Why don't you let the Bible says, if you be led of the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So he says, and be separate. Again, I'm no better than nobody else. You cut me, I bleed red. Sherry didn't put my trousers in the corner this morning and I run and jump in them. And she didn't stuff any angel wings in this coat when I put it on this morning. Matter of fact, she didn't put it on, I put it on. So I'm susceptible to all this stuff too. But there comes a time in life that you finally make up your mind in life that I want to please God more than I want to please man. I want God's favor on my life more than I want the applaud of man. I want God to say to me one day, well done. And you know what, Brother Hooker? God says for us to be separate. Whatever the thing is that's continually bringing you down. We used to sing that song. Brother Dotson used to sing this song to us. Shake off those heavy bands. Lift up those heavy hands. Hebrews tells us in Hebrews, let us lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily besets us, and let us run this race with patience. So what are you saying, Pastor? The first thing that you got to, and probably the only thing I'm going to be able to get to. And here, let me satisfy my own heart when I say this. I didn't come in here to beat up nobody. I didn't come here just to be a Bible thumper. I didn't come here today to condemn you. I didn't come today to make you feel worse leaving than you did coming. That is not my objective and that's not my goal. But yet I still believe in my heart that you've got to call sin, sin, right, right, and wrong, wrong. And that's not Alan Green. That's the Word of God. If you're planning on being the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, he says to separate yourself and touch not the unclean thing. The Bible teaches us in Thessalonians to abstain from the very appearance. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean, if it's even any question whether, Bob, it be wrong or not. You don't have to do it to see if you can get by with it. Then reap the consequences of your decision. But if it even, as much, Brother Steve, as makes you feel a little bit questionable whether what you're getting ready to do is right or wrong, we don't need to do it. You say, preacher, that's a high standard. It's not if you're in Christ. I'm going to be honest with you. To me, this is me. This is greenology. It's me. I don't find it hard to live a Christian life. Because the Bible says to love not the world, neither the things of the world. And if any man love the world, that the love of the Father is not in him. And Brother Sparks reminded us this a couple of weeks ago when he preached for me. He says that no man can serve two masters. Either you'll love the one or you despise the other. You cannot serve God, and mammon being a word in the understanding of the Greek that means wealth. It's not wrong for you to have wealth. It's wrong for wealth to have you. There's a difference. Touch not the unclean thing. And then he says, I will receive you. Again, the word ecclesia is a word, again, that means to call out. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I'm going to just do this one little part right here and I'll let you go. Called out. Understand that when Sherry and I decided to get married. I could tell you a funny story behind that, but I won't this morning. It takes too long to do that. But when we decided to get married and I proposed to her, it was maybe not the right way, but it happened the way it happened. You're young and dumb and don't know any better. You just do what you do, you know. But at that time, watch this, at that time, I made up my mind that she's mine and I'm hers. There's no in between. September the 17th, right around the corner, a couple of months away, we'll be married 40 years. I know I just barely look 40, but I've aged well. The Bible says that the word ecclesia is not only called out, but what does he call us out of? 1 Peter 2 and 9, the latter part of that, he says, but you're a chosen generation, royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out. The Bible says in God there is no darkness at all. He's called you and I out of darkness. If you're here today and you're in darkness, God's calling you out. I'm just human just like you. I don't have no beepity boppity boo or any magic trick. Abracadabra. I don't have no magic tricks for nobody. Brother Steve, you know this. Me and you've talked enough through the years. I can't do anything to help people. But I can point you to Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something about the church today. I'm going to say it again. I say this too often, but I'm going to say it again. Paul addressed the church there, the people at Galatia. And he said these words to them, "Oh, you foolish Galatians." And this is a paraphrase of what he says. He said, "You started this thing in the spirit, and how in the world are you going to finish it in the flesh?" And he turns it back and he says, "How can you do by the flesh that was started in the spirit? Or that begun by the spirit?" We can't. Everybody in this room, whether you would agree with the preacher or not, every person in this room, all of us are flesh. And every person in this room is we're still subject to flesh, Brother Hook. We're still subject to flesh. You say, "Well, you made it sound like that you're sinless perfection here today." Now, that's not my objective today. My objective today is to let you know that God has called you out of darkness. God has called the church to be separated. I'll get more into this. I've got about four more things I've got to get to. But he's called you out to bring you in. So he says here, he's called you out of the darkness into this marvelous light, this wonderful light. 1 John 3:19 through 21 says these words. And here's the problem that we're in today is because I'm not going to take the time to read every bit of that, but the Bible says in these scriptures in John 3:19, he picks it up and he says, "Whereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." Look at 19, or excuse me, in 20, going real quick. And he says in 20, and he says, 20? John, regular John. I'm getting John 1, excuse me, John chapter 3, not 1 John, John 3. That's my fault. Go back to 19, it'll make sense this way. Ah, there we go. "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." That's what was ingrained within you from Adam. You say, "Well, preacher, Listen, I'm a realist, man. I try to be real. Try to be really, really real. Do you know outside of the Holy Spirit of God, and you might get mad at me and you might disagree with what I'm getting ready to say. Outside of the Holy Spirit of God and the born again experience, every single one of us in this room is that right there. That men love darkness. Men are prone, women are prone to love evil. We are. But He's called us out of darkness. Look at 20. I hope I'm on the right place. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither condemneth cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or exposed. That's why people don't come to church, because they don't want a preacher up here preaching and then them having their lives exposed in front of everybody. They don't want that. I try to be very discreet, even in altar services and even in making announcements and things. I never want to embarrass anybody or say things that I shouldn't say. Then the next verse, really quick. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be revealed, manifest, that they are wrought in God. Who are they manifest to? Your neighbor? No. God knows it all and sees it all. God shines His glorious light. Brother Steve, I'll pick on you. You're on the front. God shines His glorious light on the heart of man. God will expose it and God will show you your sins. You don't need a preacher to say, God will show it to you. And then God gives you the opportunity to repent and to turn your life around and follow Him. I want you to stand with me. It's just a few minutes after 12. Maybe we didn't burn your chicken or burn your roast too bad. Again, I want to walk on through this thing a little bit as we can over the next few Sundays probably. Because I'll say it like this, and I'm gonna leave it with you. This is what God said. God said to my heart right now, you put the bread on the table and it's up to them to eat. It's up to them. You put the bread on the table, it's up to them to eat. God's called us out of darkness. He's coming back for a church, a glorious church. He's coming back for a people that's looking for Him. Father, in Jesus' name today, Father, I pray, God, that as I've shared what I felt like in my heart for over a week now, that God, that I was to share. Lord, I pray, God, as decisions must be made in this room today, decisions must be made. Is there those today, God, that need to change the course and need to change the direction of their life? Father, deal with their heart. Deal with their life. Father, I pray, God, that now that, God, that you've revealed these things unto us. God, I didn't come here today to browbeat nobody or to make anybody feel less than what you want them to be. But God, to identify the simple fact that, God, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. To identify the simple fact, God, that we must, as a church, turn back to you. The ways of the world and the ways of the world system today is not going to work. So, Father, we turn our hearts to you today. We turn our lives over to you. And, God, I pray as hearts are being searched today and individuals today are checking their own life, God, I can be closer to you. Lord, I know there's sin in my life. Father God, forgive me of my sin. Lord, I've not been living for you. And I know tonight, right now, Lord, today, if you called me home, I wouldn't make it. And Lord, all around this room, different people are thinking different things. But there are those today, God, that are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost and fire.
And God, we're thankful for what Jesus has already done. And Father, I pray, God, that right now that you, Lord, as we walk out of this room, Father, let us not just hear this and leave, but God, to check our hearts on a day-to-day basis to make sure that our hearts are in tune with you. And Father, I thank you for it. In the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. If you're here today and this message has spoke to your heart and you are here and you really don't know if you've ever given your heart to Jesus as Savior and Lord, this would be a great opportunity for you. Nobody touching you, nobody doing anything to you. You just simply say, Lord Jesus, I've sinned. Lord Jesus, I've done wrong. And Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to forgive me of my wrong. Forgive me of my sin. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. I ask you, Lord Jesus, today to forgive me. Lord Jesus, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in my heart the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I ask you today to forgive me of all of my sins and to forgive me of all the wrong that I've ever done. And if that's you today, my friend, just let me know that this is the day that Jesus saved your soul and the trajectory of your life changed. And for the rest of us, if we're in this building today and we've kind of let things slip, we've kind of been a little bit cold in our heart, we've been a little bit backslid in our heart, this is the day to come home. This is the day to quit running. This is the day to give your life back to God, because you're not going to outrun Him, because He loves you with an everlasting love and He wants you to be a part of His kingdom in eternity. And God bless you. We love you. 6 o'clock tonight, we do.